A little bit of the message and back up there for a part of it. Over the years, I've collected many things. I think some of you ladies right now are like, yeah, my husband collects a lot of things too. And some of you guys have full reign too to say, my wife has more dust collectors than anyone I know. Amen. Splitting the church right down the middle, Brother Ewald. I knew I should have went with a different message tonight. Lots of things up here over the years that I've collected. I collect coffee cups. And I've got a great one from Brother Sammons. Is he in here, Brother Tom? He's manning. I don't have the ugly mug one tonight. That Brother Sammons bought me a cup called the ugly mug. Now you can make that however you want it. Amen. And there's a story that Brother Tom... This cup right here, you can hardly see it anymore. There's barely a logo on there. It used to be, and it still is actually, the Shelter Harbor Inn, where my wife and I spent our honeymoon. The precious cup. Doesn't mean anything to anybody else, Brother Jim. But it means something to me. By the way, I've got one from your sister that was your mom's. It says Proud Grandma on it. Every time I used to go over to my pastor's, it would be the only cup left. And so they would give it to me, Proud Grandma. And when they moved out to California, they gave me that mug. I sit there with it. Sometimes I'll take a picture of it. I said, still a Proud Grandma. I collect baseball hats. Many baseball hats, my mother could tell you. It's a Brooklyn Dodgers hat. I bought it at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Precious time reminds me of. I collect little coins. This one is from Gary Bykirk. It's a Medal of Honor coin, two-sided coin. Precious. Have a picture of Gary and I, the first time we ever met out at Harvest Baptist Church. And I've always wanted to get this mounted and framed with his citation on it. I've got all kinds of things up here. Here's a Father's Day card my son made for me, Brother Jim. I'm keeping this one. It says, Super Dad. Going to show it to him when he's 16. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, boy, some of these things are just so precious. I have a couple keychains up here. This one is from a little place called Papa Leone's Pizza. Nobody here, probably besides Pastor Donald, knows, maybe Miss Kim. It's where Eric worked. At Papa Leone's Pizza. He says, hey, take this. Make sure you come try my pizza. Amen. This keychain right here was my dad's. We got it in Hawaii in 1988. And I have it on my keys most of the time. And I can hear the sound of my dad walking up the stairs with his keys rattling. Something precious. Doesn't mean anything to anybody else. But it sure means something to me. Of course, many of you know I collect books. Tons of books. A couple here. Brother Hendershot gave me this book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah by Robert Bork. One of the best books I've ever read. Just absolutely fantastic. Stretched my mind in ways that I didn't think it could. Animal Farm, great book here. Means a lot. Boy, this one right here. I collect football jerseys. This is 1985 New England Patriots, John Hanna jersey. And you say, who was John Hanna? He was a big lineman and used to just blast people for a living. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, you can't be from New England and not collect a few of these. Boston Red Sox, 2004 World Series champions. You don't know much about that in Michigan, but it means when somebody wins the World Series. Amen. But let me just tell you this, we went 86 years without winning it. Okay? So we've won three in the last decade, and we're very happy about it. Amen. Also for you fans of Michigan, I'm a Nebraska fan. Mrs. Lawley isn't here to cheer me on tonight. 1998 Orange Bowl versus Tennessee, when two teams won the national championship that year. One of them was from, well, I better leave that one alone too. Amen. And several other things. Brother Charlie Pudell gave me this coin. This is special to me. Brother Charlie told me later, he said, I found it by a tree. Wasn't that special to him, amen? But it's got a picture of a man with his sword and his shield, and on the back it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Take ye the whole armor of God." That's special. A warrior gave that to me. Charlie Pudell, Lieutenant Colonel, 3 tours overseas. It means something to me. Well, I'm getting to the meat of it here. My dad and I used to play this baseball game for hours and hours and hours on end. I have players in this box like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Play this game. Now I play it with my sons. It's precious. Precious thing. I've had this in my wallet for almost 22 years. Cary Arrhenius, 855 Ventnor Drive, Newport News, Virginia, 23602, 804-875-5293. It's the first time I ever wrote down my wife's name and address. And the only thing left on that is Cary. She's not Arrhenius anymore. She doesn't live at 855 Ventnor Drive, Newport News, and that phone number's been gone a long time. Amen. This is an old gospel tract that I carry in my wallet. It was the tract that was in the pocket of my pastor's son the day he died. Always a witness. Always. It reminds me to be a witness. It reminds me that He's watching whether I'm a witness or not. Amen? A letter here from Midwestern Baptist College, dated April 22nd, 1997. "Dear Richard, thank you for writing. We are looking for you and will help you in any way we can when you arrive at Midwestern Baptist College. God bless you and your wife as you strive to serve Him. Your pastor is not only one of our graduates, but a godly man who will lead you and teach you to follow Christ, to not compromise your convictions, and to not quit when God has called you to a task. Your friend, Dr. Tom Malone, Sr."
Amen.
These are the gospel tracts that I was given 20 years ago. Right here. They mean something to me.
Amen.
They don't mean anything to anybody else. They're just scraps of paper to a lost world. They sure mean something to me. Go on with a couple of silly things here. When I was a kid, I liked Captain America.
Amen.
I've got an old captain. Hey, listen, he fights for the American way. Amen. Fights against the Nazis. Amen. And I remember I had an old record player in my room, and my parents would buy me these book and records. How many of you remember these things? Amen. Book and records. And you'd read along with the book, and the record would be drawing you the pictures. I've got a couple things right here. May 24th, Saturday, it was my desktop calendar that year, 2008. Eric Joshua Zavodsky, born 5:33 a.m. Wrote it down that day. "Happy first Father's Day, Daddy." Keeping it, Brother Jack. Keeping it. I'm collecting it. That's the bulletin when my son was born. "Baby blessings. Pastor Rich and Carrie, proud parents of Eric Joshua. After 12 years without any children, both of my boys wore these shoes." They don't wear them anymore, I'll tell you that. Shoes are expensive, by the way. I'm hoping I can get a couple more years out of these, amen? Probably not.
Oh, I see.
I said I'm going to show them to them on their wedding day. Keep them. Yeah, that's right. Bronze them, amen? They're special to me. They took their first steps in these. That means something to me. For years, I've been a collector of old radio programs. I probably have 1,200, 1,300. And just came across this, "The Golden Age of Comedy" from the Longines Symphonette. And it's 10 long play records. And Brother Lowell, when I'm done with them, you can have them, eh? Got a couple other things here. This is a... You young people, this is a cassette tape. It's not an 8-track, though, amen. We're really dating ourselves. I was listening to this tape when I surrendered to preach. I've got it on MP3. Brother Salmon's converted it for me, but I'm sure still glad I got the tape. I remember putting it in that old recorder. And by the way, Dr. Malone signed it for me. He signed it for me. I said, I was called to preach November 26, 1996, listening to this. Again, most of these things don't mean anything to anybody. Here's a card when I graduated from Bible college. This family, a godly deacon and I, would go over to their house. I believe it was every Tuesday night, and we discipled them. And the deacon, he was just primo at leading people to the Lord. And I was primo at teaching the doctrines of the Bible. And we tag-teamed it, Brother Horsch. Amen. And they wrote me the sweetest card. It says, Rich, I looked for a Bible like you wanted, but the only one I found in leather, you could not write in or highlight the pages. Knew you would not like that, but I want you to take this, and you can guess what it was, amen, and get the Bible you want. If you ever get discouraged, you can look at it and know how many you have already helped. You know there are a lot more. My favorite poem is Footsteps in the Sand, because God hath carried me so many times. This last year He has sent us as a family so many blessings. You are one of them. You will always be in my heart and prayers. Love and God bless Sandy. She had twins, twin young people. We used to go over there and have cake and coffee and study the Bible together. It means a lot. This little card right here, I told Brother Leonard before the service, nothing here is for sale. You don't have enough money. Nothing. This Bible right here, another thing I collect, Bibles. This Bible was given to me by a dear lady named Elnora Lawson, godly lady. And I had all my instructors at Midwestern Baptist College sign it. And it was really the last thing that our pastor's dad signed before he got sick. He said, Brother Rich, first of all, I love you as a dear brother and pray that you will just keep doing what you know is biblical. My prayers for you would be to use the Lord as He sees fit. Rich, you are one of those rare students that makes any class interesting. Boy, I tell you, you could take that so many ways. Yeah. Amen. And a blessing to the teacher. I value your friendship and covet your prayers daily. Harry Carr. Dear Brother Rich, we have become good friends, and I thank God for you and your dear wife. God has a great work for you to do for Him. I feel so strongly that God is going to use you in a great way. I will always have you in my heart and pray for you. Dr. Tom Malone Sr. wrote that. These are just a few things. I have a pen here. My dear friend, Brother John Hamlin, gave me when I became your pastor. And I love to kid with him about this. I said, it writes too fat. I don't use it. I'm a thin writer. If you've ever seen the writing in my Bible, you know I use micro pens. Amen. What do you say about all this? Well, it's just kind of a little personal window into your pastor. And things that I collect. You have things you collect. Some of you collect deer heads. Lots of them. Amen. Some of you collect firearms. Amen. Some of you collect ties or suits or whatever. I want you to look at the Word of God with me, if you could. Back in chapter 3 of Malachi. Malachi means my messenger. And God called His messenger to rebuke His people. And I want to tell you something as a pastor. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand in this pulpit and rebuke. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand in any pulpit and rebuke. But it is part of the ministry. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, if I'm going to rebuke you, it's not just going to be my opinion. It's going to be, if you're not tithing, the Bible says you've robbed God. That's rebuke. Amen? That's rebuke. And on we could go with all long-suffering and doctrine. So God calls Malachi to rebuke Israel here. And God gives him a message. And as a matter of fact, it would be the last message that Israel would hear for 400 years. Those silent years between the Old and New Testament. And he gives Malachi a message of judgment for their religious corruption and their wicked practices and taking advantage of their privileged relationship with God. Boy, we could take that and move it right into the 21st century. Amen? Think about that going on in churches today, that there's religious corruption. That there are people that are doing despite the work of God for their own greedy gain. Amen? It happens. We of course, have Christian attorneys, and thank God for them. But the reason why we have to have Christian attorneys is because there's a lot of so-called preachers who are lining their pockets with God's money. Then there's, of course, wicked practices. All you have to do is turn on the news or open a newspaper and taking advantage of their privileged relationship with God. Well, I'm saved by grace. That means I can do what I want to do. No, it doesn't either. Doesn't mean that. Amen? Doesn't mean that. And so Malachi's voice here would be the last until John the Baptist. And he rebukes the priests for despising God's name in chapters 1 and 2. He rebukes the people for forsaking God through idolatry and through divorce. And by the way, listen, please, if you've been divorced, I'm in your corner. I really am. But listen to me. The Bible says that God hates putting away. And the reason He hates it is because He knows what occasions every divorce is sin. Selfishness. So the people forsake God. Malachi brings the message that the people will be judged by God. He brings the rebuke that the people have robbed God. People doubt the character of God, verses 13 through 15. But then, praise God for verse 16. Look at it with me. Then they that feared the Lord. After all that rebuke, here comes the exhorting, and the long-suffering, and the doctrine. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. According to this verse, God has things written in a book of remembrance. We could say this, our God collects some things about our lives. I want to tell you this, first of all, if you're a Christian tonight, and if you're a Christian, say amen tonight. Amen. The term born again Christian is redundant. If you're a Christian, you're born again. No other kind. Amen. No other kind. But if you're a Christian here today, can I encourage you about this? There's some things God doesn't collect. He doesn't collect your sins if you're saved. He doesn't collect your sins. He does not collect our sins. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17 says, Thou hast put our sins behind Thy back. God doesn't turn around. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, pray, thank God. Thank God. Amen. God does not collect our sins. Lord, the psalmist said, if Thou dost mark iniquities, who could stand? The answer to that is only Jesus. The only one. So He doesn't collect our sins. He doesn't collect our failures. Amen. Oh, thank God. What does God collect? I want to look at six things tonight. God collects, number one, the words that we say about Him. He collects the word. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. I want you to notice the common bond. What is the common bond here? The fear of the Lord. See, that's the problem in many a church, ladies and gentlemen. There is no fear of God. God's their buddy. God's the old man upstairs. But He's not holy God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And I want to just say this too. The fear of the Lord is not merely reverence, though it is reverence. I'm telling you, there's an awe-inspiring fear that ought to come across us, that the God that we serve, Brother Bill, created the world in 6 days by the word of His power. He is to be feared. He is to be feared. There's a common bond. He collects the words that we say about Him. Not only is there a common bond, but there's a common language. What's the common language amongst here? I'll tell you what it is. It's the praise of the Lord. It's the praise of the Lord. You get around a Christian. I always think, Pastor Donald, of your father-in-law. Pastor Robles and I, Fred Robles, we served for many years together at Mountain View Baptist Church, and just seemed like every conceivable ministry. The only thing I didn't serve in was the Spanish ministry, and the only thing he didn't serve in was special music, and we thank God for both. Amen. Every time Pastor Fred Robles and I got together and get together, we praise the Lord. We talk about the Lord. Oh, we may talk about maybe some things we collect or other things, but I'll tell you what it always comes back to, Brother Steve. It always comes back to praising the Lord. That's the common language of those that fear the Lord, of those that talk. So He collects the words that we say about Him, the common bond, the common language, the common fellowship. You know, it's a lot easier to speak often one to another if you assemble with one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a reason why we have Wednesday church. Because we need it. We need it. Amen. You say, well, I don't need it. Well, that's you. The rest of us need it. Amen. We need it. There's a reason why we have Sunday school, because we need it. There's a reason why we have revival meetings, because we need it. God is collecting the words that we say about Him. Secondly, in verse 16, God is collecting the thoughts that we think about Him. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and them that what? Thought upon His name. You know, our words are simply a manifestation of our thought life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34 says, Vance Havner put it this way, simple farming term, what's in the well will come up in the bucket. As a youth pastor for many years, I have seen that to be true. What teens talk about is what's important to them. I'll go a step further. Brother Kevin, what adults talk about is what's important to them. It's what they're thinking about. What are your thoughts about God? What do you think about God when you think about Him? By the way, the answer to that question is, how you live your life reveals what you think about God and how you think about God. The wicked man and his thoughts are not of God. God is not in all his thoughts, Psalm 10:4 says. Remember in Genesis chapter 6 when God was looking at the earth and looking how they'd corrupted themselves, He said before the flood, He said that every intention and thought of his heart is evil. That's the lost man. We ought to think about God. Amen? We ought to think about God. We ought to get that Philippians 4:8 thinking about God. Whatsoever things are pure. Well, God's pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Our God sure is lovely. Whatsoever things are just. Our God sure is just. Amen. And on and on and on we could go, ladies and gentlemen, about that. Think about Him. Why? Because when we think about God, we'll start thanking God for all that He is and all that He's done in our lives. I love the Thanksgiving Eve service, by the way. I love that. Just thanking God. Just thanking God. I think about the different testimonies we heard that night. I think about Brother Easterling and how sick he was. Remember how sick he was. I didn't even know Mrs. Harms, he was going to make it. And there he was, praising God. Why? Because he was thinking about how good God had been to him. God's collecting the thoughts we think about Him. By the way, don't you hate it when Satan throws a thought in your mind? Yeah. Anybody else? Just me, amen? Oh, boy, something comes in your mind, you say, where on earth did that come from? It didn't come from earth. It came from beneath. Amen? Well, we think about God, and we think about how gentle and long-suffering He is in our lives. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that'll help us to be gentle and long-suffering with other people. We think about how much grace He's shown us. And then when somebody accidentally hurts our feelings or steps on our toes, I'll tell you what, we could say, you know what, I could show them grace. For consider Him or think about Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Our God, the Collector, collects the words that we say about Him. Our God, the Collector, collects the thoughts that we think about Him. Our God, the Collector, collects the treasures that we entrust to Him. Verse 17 says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Probably over just a couple pages, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 19, church. Matthew 6:19. Here, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Why don't we want to do that? Well, God tells us exactly why right there. It's going to rust out, it's going to get moth eaten, or somebody's going to steal it. Think about the man who hid all his money in his mattress for years and years and years and then had a house fire. Know what happened to his money? Went up just like that. And then I think of poor widows that have been given to missions all that time. They've got a lot more than the man with the burnt mattress. Why? Because it says right there, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, every piece of silver you ever give to God in pure motive, God collects that. He collects it. He collects our seconds, our service, and our silver that we entrust to Him. I think about this, and again, please, I'm not just being your pastor, if that's okay. I think about you people that give an hour on Saturdays. And I know, Pastor Donald, you get Friday off. I get Monday off. I know for some of you, Saturday is your only day. I know that. So please, I'm not being harsh. God knows my heart. But every hour I ever gave to God on Saturday, every hour you ever gave to God on Saturday or Thursday night or Tuesday or whenever, God's got a record. God's collected it. Every time you ever passed out a gospel tract, God's collected it. God's collected the treasures that we entrust to Him. I think about precious people that leave estates to the church. Oh, tell you what, that's the "He being dead yet speaketh," it says of Abel in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. The treasures that we entrust to Him, God's collecting those. He's collecting them. By the way, they're seeds, aren't they? And you always reap more than you sow. Number four. The treasures that we entrust to Him, the thoughts that we think about Him, the words that we say about Him. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And again, can I say this going back to this long illustration at the beginning of the service? You know, these little shoes, they don't mean much to anybody else. They sure mean a lot to me. You know, the words that you say about God, they may not mean anything to anybody else, but they sure mean a lot to our Father. Amen? The thoughts that you think about God, a lost world could care less. But the Father collects every one of them. He collects every one of them. You're in Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Here is the scene in heaven right after the rapture of the church in chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Number four, our God collects the prayers that we bring to Him. The prayers that we bring to Him. Many of us have felt at some point in our life, through demonic oppression, by the way, "You know what? I wonder if God's even listening." Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Oh, certainly we need to confess sin. When we don't confess sin, He's not listening. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." But I'm talking about we're walking with God, we're trying to obey Him, we're trying to keep short accounts with Him. Something comes into our life and we pray to God, He's listening. And Mrs. Harmon, He's got a bottle with your prayers in it. He's got that vial, that bowl. And Mrs. Harmon, forgive me, but I think yours is a pretty big bowl. Some of us are probably going to have little bowls. I'll tell you what, God collects every one of them. Especially during the tribulation. How long, O Lord? How long? God's collecting every one of them. Every prayer you ever prayed. Every prayer you ever prayed for somebody to get well. You know where I really think about this? Every prayer you ever prayed for an enemy. Every prayer you ever prayed for somebody that used you. Mm-hmm. God's got them all. Every last one of them. God collects them. He collects them. Let me give you another one. Go over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. God collects the words that we say about Him. God collects the thoughts that we think about Him. God collects the treasures that we entrust to Him. God collects the prayers that we bring to Him. Psalm 56. And I got you on this one, Miss Kim. Amen. Miss Kim and I were talking about this the other day in the office. Psalm 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? The tears that we cry unto Him, our God collects them. Our God collects them. I think of the tears that we cry for service. Paul said that he warned day and night with tears. In the Psalms, we hear in chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, there's tears for service. We want to see God move. We want to see people saved. We want to see people grow. And there's tears. You know, there's not only tears for service. There's tears for those that have been slandered. Nothing hurts worse than when somebody says something about you that's not true. And you know it's not true. And I'll tell you what, you go to God and you cry. And by the way, that's who you're supposed to go to. When you get slandered, you don't need to be walking all over the church. Chip, 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 chip. Amen. Just go to God. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. I wonder all the tears through all the years that God has bottled up because of slander. May we not be guilty of that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Tears of service, tears of... How about tears of sorrow? You stood at a graveside, a very unnatural graveside. You stood at the graveside of a child or a niece or a nephew. And you cried tears of sorrow. You got the word that, Brother Jim, Mom's got cancer. And you cried tears of sorrow. You got the word, it's terminal. You're going to have to decide to pull the plug. Tears of sorrow flow. And God bottles up every last one of them. Say, how can He do that? Well, He numbers the hairs on our heads. I don't know how He can do that either.
He created everything.
I think for Brother Tom Gilbert, it's easy. Amen. Number the hairs of the head. Amen. He's keeping records. He's collecting. He's collecting those tears. Bottles. I sure hope we have a lot of bottles. Amen. Not just a couple little drops. Well, let's plead and beg God. Lastly tonight, our God the collector collects the words that we say about Him, collects the thoughts that we think about Him, collects the treasures that we entrust to Him, collects the prayers that we bring to Him, collects the tears that we cry to Him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and we'll be done tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 10, please. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with Him. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Speaking of the church at Corinth here. He said, you're the very building of God. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So is the proper foundation in the Christian life. Just imagine you're getting ready to build a house. You get saved and God lays the foundation. Jesus Christ, that's the foundation. Amen. He's the chief cornerstone. Every one of us that gets saved, we start with a good foundation. Amen. Then in verse 12, he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which be hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I believe the last thing that God collects, and by the way, maybe you've got about five or six more points, that's okay. The last thing in this message that God collects is the works that we do for Him. The works that we do for Him. In Revelation chapter 14, we've been studying that in our Sunday school class, in the Berean class. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "Blessed is he that dieth in the Lord, that he may rest from his labors, and his works do follow him." God's collecting our works. Thank God again. Thank God our God's the great divider. He's not collecting those sinful works. He's forgiven those. That's amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen. But there are some works that we do for Him where our motives aren't the best. And what happens to those? They burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. Wood, hay, stubble. What's the difference? The motive. Why do we do what we do? Well, I come out on Saturday because preacher shamed me. That's an okay reason, I guess. Sure be better to come out because you love Jesus. Amen. Sure be better to come out because you're concerned for lost souls. See, when our motives are proper, God's keeping a record of those works. You want the great chapter on motivation? Read 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, "Though I could perform all miracles and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And I believe he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ there. There's no profit if our motive isn't. Ladies and gentlemen, God's keeping records of your works. Think of our precious hoary-headed saints, and I say that with all respect. Some of you were driving a bus a long time ago.
Amen.
Some of you were fixing buses a long time ago. Some of you were running programs. Mr. Alcock, I still can't believe this. I still can't believe it, but I'm told it's true. Used to run into Awana's and slide right in the middle of the gym and jump up. He's going to do it tonight after the service. Amen? Mr. A, God collected that. God collected that. And He knows you can't do it anymore. But let me just tell you something. God's got it all stored up for the judgment seat of Christ. Our God's a collector. You know what? Let's give Him something to collect.
Yes.
Let's give Him something to collect. Let's serve Him. Let's think about Him. Let's talk about Him. Let's especially talk about Him to others.
Amen.
That don't know Him. Let's be concerned for the person next to us. Amen. Let's have a prayer life. Let's shed some tears. Oh, not just during revival meeting. When you get to thinking about that coworker without Christ, it ought to move you to tears. Let's shed some tears. Let's do some works. Amen. Let's lay up some treasures. You know, you can trust God. He's way better than the stock market. Amen. Give to that missionary, that project. I think of there's some missionary projects. I know Brother Smoot mentioned about wanting to get a plane. Well, I'll tell you what, we help him with that. Oh, we may not be able to help him with the whole thing, but we help him with that. Those are treasures we entrusted to God. Our God's a collector. Let's give him something to collect. Father, we